Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 496's After Show.
We should have brought Gannon in for the harmony.
Oh,
go for a
man.
Trio.
Yeah, that would have been good. Get all three of us. Yeah, like,
instead of just our duet.
In sync. Let's try it with him anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our champion from this last weekend's Memorial Championship presented by Discraft, Gannon Burr.
Hey, Gannon.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Gannon.
What's up?
All right, we're going to do this again. It's going to be, I'm going to introduce it, and then you, in harmony, in sync with us, got to go with the after show. Are you ready for it?
Wait, what do I'm just saying.
Yeah, you
after
saying,
show.
Yeah, you have to say after show with us.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, here we go. Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome in to Smashbox TV Podcast 496's after show.
Good enough.
Close enough. There's a little
delay.
It.
We nailed it.
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Got into Waco late last night, and practiced the Lake Waco course today. Always cool to have a poor approach over, so that was interesting. And then tomorrow is the last practice day. Actually, it's gonna be it's been a busy last couple weeks because obviously with the travel to Memorial, and then we had four rounds, and then we travel right here, and then I have two rounds of practice only, and then I have to play four more rounds for a tournament. So it's been busy, but I enjoy it. The more disc golf, the better.
So I two questions. One, how do you like the new course? And second, are you only allowed one practice round a day, or are you just keeping yourself fresh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it's really too beneficial to play more than one practice round. I don't even really need to throw shots. I just need to see where the landing zones are at. So that's kind of all that matters for me. Usually I play horrible in practice. Mm. Like for Memorial, I pretty much got dead last of my entire group every practice round. So it's more about just learning the course and then performing when the time comes. The new course is pretty interesting. You can definitely tell it's like a brand new course. The biggest issue is probably the tee pads. And I've heard it's because the golf course didn't want like tee pads in the ground. So every tee pad's built up and you have to step up onto the tee pad. So it's a little bit annoying. A couple of them, you have to actually step up probably like that much, which is a lot. Now the turf is very, very good on the tee pads. You're probably not going to see any slips this weekend, which is nice. When you have turf, it's always good to see it done right. So that's awesome. But the course had starts off with like three pretty gimme par fours that you pretty much almost have to be 300 through three to be feel pretty good. And then you go through, four through seven is kind of the new section of the course that they cut out, it looks like, and it's pretty rough. I'd say bad. There's six all over the ground. There's you can just tell it's brand new. Who knows? Maybe it'll beat in if we keep using this course, but the course isn't like scenic or anything. Nothing too special about it. But the actual design itself, I think, plays fine. It's fair. It's definitely going to be one of the easier courses on tour. I mean, I'm definitely looking to shoot double digits there for sure. There's a few holes of danger, but not really. it's really just about picking your landing zones. It's pretty open, and then there's just some trees you gotta kind of maneuver around, not really throw any. There's only like two gap shots, maybe two or three gap shots. More of it's like trying to move your distance down the fairway, quite a ways down the fairway. But I mean, it'll be a good addition to have open and woods for this tournament.
Yeah, because I always felt like Brazos East was a really almost perfect combination of wooded and open park style golf, and that the first two or three holes you have at Waco relatively open, then you get into the woods, but then you come out for 14 through 18, or 15 through 18, I forget.
13.
Yeah. 13
through 18. And I that's one of the reasons I always loved the Waco course in general, is that I felt it was a really good mix for having one course. So having the second course will be really interesting.
Yeah, and I'll follow that up, Gannon, and say, I believe Waco comes in also with everything Johnny just said, is the shortest course on the tour. Mm-hmm. And now here we're going out and having the availability of this golf course. Talk about the length, because the number one comment everybody says about golf courses is they're long and boring. So I have no idea what the length is, and I know you kind of just described the course, but how do you feel like it fits in overall, and what do you think about the overall length of it?
I've heard some like mixed opinions. I'd have to like think a lot about it, but it felt like almost every par four, like, you can do whatever off the tee, but let's just say it's a driver off the tee and the upshot's with a soft putter. It's not even wooded. So it's like, it's kind of similar to like Jones Gold a couple years back, where we saw a lot of like 14 unders where the par fours were literally 650 feet wide open. You bomb one and then you throw a 150 foot approach, tapping your birdie almost every time. It's maybe a little bit longer than that. And then some of the par threes are kind of long. So the par threes are definitely tougher out here, but yeah, almost every par four is pretty dang short.
Okay, so I know you just said double digits. Go on record, you know, I'll clip this. Go on record. What do you think will be A, the hottest score of the weekend, and then B, what's like the bare
score?
And then B, like, what's the bare minimum that you think people need to be shooting on it?
Well, if you're looking to win the tournament, at Lake Waco, minimum 7 under, I think.
Okay.
I mean,
per round.
I was 6 under through 9 today playing practice, and I don't play good in practice. So,
okay.
That's a little bit of an indicator. The back nine is definitely harder. It's definitely a lot harder than the front nine. The front nine's like, get your birdies and get out. You want to be at least 4 under, for sure 5. I mean, I guess the other way around, but around that number. If you're 3 or 2 under, you're kind of, honestly, toast for the round. You know, you won't be able to get too far under par. But I think it does test a good amount of skills. There's a couple different types of tee shots. There are a lot of flex lines, I felt like, which is going to help me out. I like ripping over overstable stuff and having to come back late. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it'll play good. I think for the tournament, the winning score will probably be, depending on conditions, obviously conditions is a big thing, but anywhere from like 32 to 38 under, I think will be winning.
Wow. Someone on the board had said 45. They thought 45 was going to win it. That's so, that seems pretty hot, but yeah.
I can see that, but at the same time, like, you say that with every tournament and then it almost never happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like,
sure,
yeah, you want to be shooting, you know, 7, 8, 9 around, and then like AB at chess.com averaged 6 around in one.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can shoot 10 down, no problem, but it's just not going to happen consistently. You're going to run into trouble. I mean, same thing with like the Memorial. Like, it'd be like hard to say, you know, I won Memorial with 36 under, and then that someone's going to shoot 9 strokes more under par at harder courses. It just, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think back, and real quick on the Memorial, I think back, I believe like Hammes a couple years ago went like 14 and 15 under in the first two rounds. He was 29 under through 36 holes.
Yeah.
And then here you won this year's event at 38 as a total. And we know Vista is tougher to score on, so to speak. But yeah, the year to year doesn't necessarily always translate in terms of scores. Now, you guys are going, is it the Beast, then the Lake, then the Beast, then the Lake? Are you guys alternating?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about that versus like two rounds at one and then two rounds at the other? And then finally, do you enjoy, do you like the idea of finishing at the Lake course?
Yeah. I mean, it only makes sense to finish at the lake because it's more spectator friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes sense to finish there. I definitely prefer the Beast over the lake course.
Okay.
Just because I think the Beast is more, it's just more fun to play, more iconic. Good, yeah, like you said, woods, open mix. It's literally 9 and 9 woods and open mix. So good mix there. I don't know, it's kind of tough because even just for Memorial, we went first 2 rounds at Fountain, first, last 2 rounds at Vista.
Yeah.
It can kind of be good because you kind of get in, for that like second round of the course, you kind of get your, you know, your tournament feels, you know what to do on every hole. It just feels like you're more in rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you alternate courses, it feels like it's tough to get into rhythm sometimes, but I feel like I probably like alternating better just because it's more of a challenge. And it,
okay.
You know, it makes it so somebody just can't get hot for 2 days in a row. You got to play hot at both types of golf.
Fair enough. So let me follow that up and say, and this obviously can include yourself, who do you pick? If you're a betting man, who are you picking either to win and or at least finish in the podium, the top three? Like, you know, after you've described the course and you just your overall practice and everything else, who do we see? Who are we going to see in the top three in, like, I don't know,
whose skills match these courses?
Yeah, I think for sure I'd put Ricky in there. I think he's just going to overall play really good at the golf course, too. He just has every kind of shot, and he's due for a win, I feel like. Obviously, finished the season with a Pro Tour Finals win, but he needs to get one early on in the season. So he'd probably be my number one pick to win the tournament. I do think it fits my game pretty solid. The, like I said, flex shots in the Open, and Waco was my first kind of breakout event when I was 15 back in 2021. So I feel pretty good. Obviously, like, I've actually never had a great finish at Waco. My best finish is 11th, which was my first year there. Other than that, I've gone like 11th, 25th, 25th. It's always been like my worst finish of the year. So this year, I'm hoping to make a change. And maybe, and not just make a change for the event placement, but like play good at the Beast for once.
Okay.
For a whole tournament. And so it's definitely shreddable, and you just got to get it done. Can't let the course eat you, basically. There's definitely some in the woods there. You can take some big numbers. But the tough part's getting a lot of birdies, because people will be getting a lot of birdies. Trying to think of my final person. I mean, these days, you can kind of go with anybody.
Okay.
I mean, I could see Kyle Klein playing really good again. With the par fours not being that long at the Open course, and obviously he's won in the woods before. And he started off the season pretty solid with a top five finish at chess.com. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd bet a lot that we all finish in the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, historically Waco has provided some, different winners. I mean, for a while it was like the roll the dice winner. I mean, you had Germ go back to back in playoffs. We saw Colton, Nico, Kona at one point on FPO. It has been a unique event for winners. So we're throwing the golf course in here now. So it's going to change a lot. Actually, I want to go back and let's talk more about your recent win here at the Memorial. Why? I guess I'll start with the question. Why do you go and play the Memorial? I mean, it's way out of the way. You went from Florida all the way over to Arizona and then back over to Louisiana. What drives you to go play that particular event? And what is it? Do you see yourself doing that like again and again in the future?
Yeah. Well, one, we get to stay at Ricky's house for free, and it's like the most fun weekend ever. That's like the best thing, 'cause it's like a huge party the whole weekend. And you have the hot tub, you have the cold plunge, you have the practice baskets,
pools, really poker, really card table, pool table. Yeah, it's the ultimate bachelor
room.
Pad.
It's really just like the best thing ever. So now I was a big fan of the All-Star event when it was in Tucson. Mm-hmm. That was more, it kind of felt like just a really fun time, and it felt like the week lasted a long time because you're doing so many fun things. Now, with the location technically being better for the tour in Florida, I definitely did not really enjoy the All-Star event this year. It was a little just boring, in my opinion, because, I mean, there wasn't a ton to do. But I think for the tour, it is better start in Florida. But so now the memorial for us is kind of a little bit more of the All-Star event, and especially winning it. I mean, I've always wanted to play the memorial, and when I won it last year, I was like, well, we're definitely coming back the next year. Me and the boys planned it out. The weekends worked out perfectly. We had a good plan because Silas Schultz lives in Baton Rouge, which is just right where you drive through to get to Waco anyway, like within like 5 miles of his house. So we just parked at his house, flew to Baton Rouge. We just added like an 8-hour trip. We just 4 hours of flying, 4 hours back, done. And then you just finish your drive from Florida to Waco. You go back to Baton Rouge and finish it. So it really only added like 8 hours to the trip, even though it feels like you are on the other side of the country pretty much. But yeah, I mean, I got to come back again, until I lose, which will probably happen next year. I mean, who knows these days anymore. Obviously, if I could go 3 times in a row, that'd be so sick. But I mean, it really, I think it's just a fun time and a very historic event. And the payout's very good. I got $5,500 for first both years, which is, basically like a low paying Elite Series tournament. So yeah, very, very good paycheck if you're able to play good. And there's not a ton of high skill depth in the field. You have like 6 players that are always pretty dang good in the world that go to that tournament. You have a couple mid levels, and then you have a lot of low levels. So that's another reason you see the ratings go up a lot. But it also just makes, even if you have a bad weekend, you still get decent cash no matter what. So not only is it a fun weekend, I won last year. I knew I was going to make money this year, and it was just a great time overall.
And this is arguably your first big win with Discmania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's my only win with Discmania.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't say for sure. I didn't know if you had, a small local.
He's not slumming any C-tiers.
I didn't know
if
you were slumming a B or C-tier or something along those lines.
But yeah, I have done that before. I did play 2 C-tiers this offseason. I played one with my Prodigy bag in, like, December, and then I played one open bag in before I had announced my Discmania sponsorship.
And speaking of which, somebody asked on the board if there was going to be a trophy disc or some kind of commemorative disc from Discmania regarding this win. Is that, do you know if that's in the works? I know it's not on one of the tours, so to speak, but do you know if that's in the works?
I don't think we're going to do anything for it. But I will say, with just my Ganon Bird disc that will be coming out pretty soon, I'm going to test some stuff out here in the next couple days and couple weeks. So, I'll have some pretty cool Discmania releases here soon. So, no memorial disc, but you can get a Ganon Bird disc.
What should we be expecting that's going to be dropping? Like, what style and what was the, how did it get developed?
Yeah. So I'm getting a couple different Creator Series discs, which are just this that I help design and kind of give my input. And Discmania has been really awesome to work with because they have a program that they can basically have drawings, and then I can kind of say what I want and how I see them. It shows me the profile of the disc, and I can affect the nose and the wing and the shape. Obviously, you have to like still match the weight standards and stuff, which is tough as always. But obviously, we're working on a putting putter. I have been known for putting in my past. I haven't been putting great recently, which that's, not really, it's not the putter's fault. It's probably my fault. I need to obviously adjust, but I also didn't putt good in the off season. So it's kind of just a continuation of that. I putted pretty good today. So putting definitely felt better today.
Okay.
It was definitely my best feeling putting day I've had in like 4 months probably.
And is that, do you think that's because of the change? I mean, you putted with the same putters for many years, and now you've got a new disc. I mean, obviously, as we know, there's almost nothing wrong with any disc. It's always in the user. Everyone has their own preference. Some people love a bead, some people don't. Yeah. Finding the right putter for you could take some time, or you're gonna have to create it. Do you feel like you're looking forward to your own creation, so to speak, more so than what you're using now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so I'm using the Exo Hard Link right now. Actually, on right here, it's got a pretty similar profile to my old putters. It's got a bead on it, and it's the right depth. It's a little more rounded right here, And so it's a little bit straighter and has more glide, where my old putters, I'd putt flat and they'd go and then they'd dump. These ones kind of like you go straight. And so it's just like ingrained in my muscle memory to hang it out right and then let it fade in. And I missed a ton of putts low this weekend because I'm terrified to put it in the air because I'm worried it's just going to glide too far. So it's all just in my head, I think. And I mean, like I said, we're working on it. But yeah, putting felt a lot better today. I definitely like it's tough to like adjust your putt mid tournament for Memorial. And so I just kind of today tried to have my aim putt, my aim point be a little more like left, not necessarily left of the basket, but more just on the center of the pole. Sorry, there's a mosquito in here that is terrifying me. It's like this big.
You are in Texas now, where all the insects are just ginormous.
Well, I know. I might just die. Whatever. But yeah, so I got putter that we have been. Okay.
Is that the mosquito? That is a large mosquito.
I just got pranked by somebody. It scared the crap out of me. I wish I could just talk on here and not get pranked.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So we got the putter coming out eventually. I don't have a date on that yet. We still have to, once I get the prototypes tested out and see if there's any changes or if they're good, we can go ahead with the process. But also working on a driver. So I'm really excited for that. And I think the goal with the driver is to have it be a pretty neutral flying driver where it's just like pros can use it for shots they want a little more glide. And then for AMs, it's still, they're just like glidey straight to overstable driver. Not just like, I mean, I feel like a lot of drivers out there right now for AMs are just like meat hooks no matter what. And so I want something that they're actually able to throw and then that pros will also throw because it feels good and it has a consistent just like flat release and flip and kind of turn the whole way. So, we're going to be trying it out.
Yeah, I love a disc that like feels good in your hand, but then also
holds any line.
Holds any line you put it on and then is good used by everybody. Yeah. All the key phrases in every disc review that could possibly be there. But and it feels good in every plastic. It feels good in every plastic.
Like,
and it fits every budget.
Yeah. It's too bad because every single disc review ever on the earth says that.
I know.
Yeah.
It's one of my pet peeves. Like, I almost wish people on disc reviews would be like, yeah, this thing's trash. It feels terrible. It's fluky. It flips over weirdly. Like, I wish people were just honest with their disc reviews. And so, like, with that being my pet peeve, I actually want to have my disc be a good disc. That is actually all those things.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, me too. I mean, every disc I've ever reviewed feels good in the hand. It holds any line I put it on.
Okay.
You're right. And we've been saying this literally for years. And that is, it's part of the reason why disc reviews are always so funny to me. And let's be fair. You throwing a disc and the way it works for you is nothing like how it's going to fly for 99.5% of the rest of the planet. And that's where I inherently also always have issues with disc reviews is because they're so dependent on the actual person's throwing skills. And that's why especially I don't care about what disc someone's throwing.
Like, yeah. Like once drivers lose their speed, they always just go for everyone. And, but like mids and putters, you can kind of get away with it. They'll fly somewhat similar, but like the drivers, like there is a way to make a consistent driver where the flight path is actually like smoother. It's better. Like there's certain runs that I like that, you know, you can just like, here's one of them. This is one of the new Sealine DD3s, but it's like the shape of the dome is really good. Like when I look for a driver, I look for this shape that's just like slight dome, nothing too crazy. And the disc stability is like neutral, I'd say. Like if I throw it flat, I'll get turn out of it, and then instead of like hooking up hard, it just like kind of flattens out. Now with like a flat disc, the issue I find with those is they like flip quick and then they fade quick once they lose their speed. But with a little bit of dome, like this is kind of the one of the ideal drivers. So my driver, I'm kind of looking to be like a counterpart to these DD3s. So they're just like really workable. Maybe like a slightly different feel or just kind of tweaking with some stuff. I still like the feel of these, but I want to maybe change like the shape of the nose a little bit to just see like what kind of different flight paths we can get. I know like the DD is a disc that this man has that has a little more of a blunt nose. and it's a lot more controllable, I feel like, that way. And so that was another thing I was kind of thinking about trying out.
With regard to the, you talked about the creator series of the disc that you're working on, does that also bleed into the naming? And where are you at on that? Do they give you a list of potential names? Is this something that you get to just pull out of thin air, or they kind of give you a box, so to speak, of which you got to stay within? How will the naming come about for that?
I am terrible with names, mostly because I feel like there's always a better name out there. And so I actually haven't thought one bit about what I want to name my disc.
Mm.
I think I have one name in mind that we've been like maybe we're talking about a little bit. So that might happen, but other than that, I only have one name and I have like three discs coming out. So
okay. I'd go with X too, because we've seen that by Prodigy, we've seen it by Discraft. Let's just have a Discmania X2.
Sure, why not?
I'm just throwing out ideas.
Are you looking for like a theme for your discs? As we've seen, like Kevin Jones has a theme, Paul Macbeth has a theme, Paige Pierce kind of has a theme. Are you kind of leaning that way, or is it going to be more just whatever strikes you?
You can come in.
Uh oh.
Gavin's trying to ruin the show like he did last year.
No. Is he clothed this time?
Yeah, he has some clothes on this time.
All right,
let's keep it that way.
Yeah, we prefer it that way, but it's not obligated. I'm just saying.
Does he still have all of his fingers?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. This is getting weird.
Gosh, I don't know what's happening.
Okay. I'm guessing there's some vlog material trying to be created.
Happening.
Yeah,
there's something happening.
I mean, if you just know all too well that something's in the works.
I don't know if it's going to work out what they're doing, but
they're trying, okay,
they're trying their best.
Theme, any kind of train of thought or theme that you're working on or might work on?
I don't know. Just I guess the one name I had was somewhat cold themed, ice in the veins thing that I had going on.
Sure.
Last year. Mm-hmm. That's like the only thing I think. Other than that, probably no theme. As long as it's a sick name, I'd be happy with it.
Okay.
What about iced tea? Ice cube?
Iced tea, yeah.
Vanilla
yeah,
ice?
just go all frozen wrappers?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I don't know. There's an idea.
Eskimos have like 47 different words for snow, but I mean.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of, I don't know, vanilla ice? I don't know. How tall are you? Somebody asked earlier if you're still growing, but how, and I know I kind of made the joke during our interview, but like literally, how tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
Huh. Nice. He seems taller than you, Johnny.
Well, I've shrunk. I'm old.
I'm so skinny, I just look taller.
Johnny doesn't have that problem.
No, I used to have that problem. as I've said on the show, my son is 14 and he's 6 foot. He's over 6'6". He's 6'6" and a quarter. So, and he's only 14. So he's going to keep growing for a little bit. So
he's going to be 8 feet tall.
I he better not.
Are you done growing
right
then?
The
I can't lose any more accuracy or I'll be toast.
Someone asked also in the board, since we're going out of, true after show theme here, someone asked if like fitness routine and or bulking up or weightlifting, any kind of like, what's kind of a, do you have a plan? Have you thought about how you want your overall physique to be?
Well, I definitely want to be like, my training, I've thought about training to like a range of motion, so it's mobility and strengthening and flexibility, so and quick fast twitch muscles, so like trying to do exercises that it's the exercise but you're doing it at the furthest range of motion, or whether it could be like a stretch, and then once you feel the furthest stretch, then you actually put the tension through the muscle. And so as like the muscle fibers like tear or whatever, the little mini tears when you grow muscle, if you're doing that through lengthening exercises, it'll grow back and the muscle will lengthen out, so you'll actually be more flexible when you get to those situations. And disc golf, our like shoulders, especially like when you throw your arms way behind your your back kind of, you got to keep your front shoulder nice and loose and strengthen those as well. All the muscles in there. And then I did mostly like body weight stuff. I did some like lightweight lifting, but another way to do it is having lighter weights, but keeping it further from your center of gravity. So they feel heavier, just cause the pendulum's different. But I added 25 pounds last off season or two off seasons ago from 2022 to 2023. I added that weight. And then this year was more just like maintaining and kind of just staying healthy. So I felt like I did a pretty good job. I did have a pretty bad ankle injury, at the first week of December or first week of January this year, that I couldn't walk for like, I couldn't like walk normally for like 2 weeks. And then even now it's not 100%. It's still kind of there a little bit. It's not really painful, but if I like sit on my foot weird, I'll definitely feel like pain. But it's healed for the most part. So that's fine. But that I was doing good and that kind of put everything to a halt. But then I got back on it for like the last, you know, week, 2 weeks that I was at home and obviously start off the season good with a fourth place at chess.com and then winning Memorial. So looking to continue that. It's the best start I've had in any season so far. I've always seemed to have like one good finish and one really bad finish. And now I have two good finishes. So, yeah, just looking for a top 10 here at Waco.
Yeah. And is there anything that you're doing overall that's different this year that you feel like is a drastic change? Obviously you have a new bag. That's, you know, that's the most obvious one, but is there anything else that you feel like is, would be shocking to us or a surprise to the disc golf world when you say, yeah, this year I'm doing blank? Is anything, can you fill in anything there?
I'm trying to find a way to game plan. I mean, we all have those like situations where you take like a huge number or you make a big mistake and you're like, wow, I could have just laid that up. Like you think that afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best to find a way to prevent that stuff from happening. And like some of that is like playing to the safer side of OB, you know, maybe if OB on the left basket here, you actually act as if the basket is 20 feet further away from the OB, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Another thing is like when you throw, carry and balance as long as you possibly can. That's an important part. So at worst case, you made your progress down the fairway. So stuff like that, laying up putts that aren't worth it. And then just getting a solid game plan that's playing my highest percentages. And it's already paid off. I think the most bogeys I've taken in a round this year is two, maybe even one. I might have taken one bogey. And that's my most in a round this year out of my seven rounds I played. So, I'm just trying to play smart golf and keeping my head in it and never giving up till the 18th hole.
Then you'll give up on the 18th hole. Like, screw it, I'm done.
After you tap an 18, you're just like, I'm quitting disc golf. I'm done with life.
I'm out. Obviously, and you and I briefly.
Oh, they've set a nice dinner table for you.
Wow.
I literally brought a table in my room. I have no idea why.
It looks like a fancy, there's going to be some candles lit. And
should be a nice steak dinner, hopefully.
Yeah. If Isaac comes in with like a towel over his arm, mm-hmm. like, what can I get you, sir?
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
I'd be like, chicken nuggets, please.
Chicken I'll nuggets with a side of M&M's.
Your finest chicken nuggets with a side of honey mustard. Yeah, I believe it was about this time last year when I learned of the whole mayo on bread to make grilled cheese method, which I had never heard.
Yeah.
And you enlightened me to that, to which the rest of the world's like, duh.
Yeah, a lot of people
I'd never
that.
Heard of that. So have your cooking skills in any way advanced? Maybe that's the good word for it. Okay.
I haven't made grilled cheese since that conversation.
Okay.
Wow.
It and was then like, for that week, I was on a roll. I was like, I'm making grilled cheeses, and so I mean, they were amazing grilled
living
cheeses.
Life. Yeah.
Obviously, those nice YouTube recipes are always the best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just a terrible cook.
Okay. The other thing you told me the other night is you still don't have a driver's license.
No.
So tell the rest of the world what your strategy is still without a driver's license.
Sorry, they're doing something so stupid.
Really?
Huh?
Really?
Never would have guessed it.
Really? I had no idea. I don't have a driver's license. The goal was to do it this off season. Because the original plan was to tour me and Silas would have one car. It'd be my car, and we'd tour it and split gas, split time driving. Mm-hmm. And then
well, his car didn't work out.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Well,
too soon.
He only got a car because our plans didn't work out. We were originally, like I said, going to tour together, and then he wouldn't even need a car. But some like planning stuff went weird, and then he ended up like not wasn't going to tour with us. And then now he is going to tour with us, so it's kind of like all over the board. So I was going to get a license for that reason, and and I just didn't get a license because there was no like reason to, and I don't know. And it makes it so I don't have to drive anyone's car.
I mean, you can always. That was that. I mean,
that's
that,
like the low key way.
In college, Terry always had like the smallest car, and so Terry was just like, "Hey, I guess we can't take my car to travel anywhere for any disc golf tournaments. Must be too tough. Let's take the Buick Park Avenue Johnny has."
Yeah, if you don't fit, oh well, it's all or nothing. Okay. So not gonna have a license this year. How does the travel arrangement work out then? With like, who are you? What vehicle are you physically in with whom, and what's your caravan look like? How many people are traveling?
Yeah, so I'll show you the guy I'm riding with.
Are those pancakes? Are you eating pancakes?
It's a banana on an orange plate.
Oh, it was a little hard to tell. I couldn't tell if it was pancakes or not.
They set up an entire table. They brought a glass table in the room, put 6 chairs in here, and then Gavin put a napkin in his shirt like a 12-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then he has a steak knife cutting a banana.
I mean, keep it classy.
Sounds appealing.
That's what I say. Keep it classy.
Oh, my gosh. Terry, you're the worst with these.
Thank you.
Yeah, but so Alden is the one who offered to drive me everywhere. And so that's what's happening.
Lucky him.
He drives everywhere.
Huh. Wow, that sounds... What's your main role as the passenger then? Like, what are you tasked to do with? Is it...
Just annoy him all the time.
Keep him awake,
find the food, directions, music. Like, what you have to have a task.
The nearest chicken nuggets?
No, I mean, I have a Chick-fil-A dealer, I'll call it, where I get a certain amount of free meals, and so I just give everyone free Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
Okay, so you're just scoping out the Chick-fil-A's, obviously not on Sundays, but you're just scoping out where the Chick-fil-A's are so you can hook everyone up.
Uh-huh.
Damn. I want in on that.
No.
You gotta come on tour with us.
Yeah, travel with them.
I just might.
We can have the DGN studio in here.
That's a good call. And I also learned, of course, from Alden's vlogs, you guys are planning on, as we see, more Airbnb-ing this year. How many of those will you get kicked out of?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we're pretty close to me kicking everyone else out right now.
I worry that, I guess, if they saw any of the video or evidence, it would be after you guys have left. But, you know... There's still a certain decorum you've got to keep within your rules of Airbnb-ing. Because there's been plenty of golfers that have been kicked out of them.
Yeah. I think I've definitely been the closest to being kicked out.
Okay. What and the idea of Airbnbs this year, is that pure economics? Is that so that you guys aren't fighting over hotel beds? What was the game plan? Like, how did this come about? And how many are going to be in most of the Airbnbs? Like, what's going to be the average number of people?
It's 4. It's me, Alden, Gavin, Isaac at every single Airbnb, and then Silas for, like, I think a majority of them, too.
Why do you guys not like Ezra?
He is married.
So he can't stay in an Airbnb? Like, it's against the
law? No, we don't like people that get married.
Oh, okay. All right. That's legit. I mean, I don't blame you.
That sounds fair.
And so, yeah, he's not in the Airbnbs. He chose a different life, and that's what he gets.
What about what about pregnant people? What about pregnant people? We're seeing more pregnant people on tour.
It's pretty crazy. Like, we're reaching that era. Everyone's just becoming a mom or a dad on tour, and like, I feel like we kind of saw that in football, even like with like Tom Brady retiring, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, like, you know, now Steph Curry, LeBron James are all older, and like those are all the people I grew up watching in all the sports, and they're like kind of aging out now. And then it's the same thing with disc golf. Everyone's luckily in disc golf, I feel like you can play while you're a little bit older, but now people are starting families, so pretty interesting. And then you see the younger players coming up and just filling their slots, basically.
Would Hannah Macbeth let you hold baby Pablo?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Oh, no? Okay.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Do you feel like you should be trusted with a baby?
Probably not.
Okay. No. All right. I can appreciate that honesty.
I mean, he's around Gavin a lot, so.
Real quick, this weekend, I'll go just to touch on the course one more time, I should say the overall conditions. Looks like it's going to be a little bit colder as the weekend rolls on, and then also a legitimate chance of, it says AM thunderstorms possibly on Friday, and then you've got a high of almost 80 tomorrow, but by the time we get to Saturday and Sunday, you're talking about highs of only 60. And 61.
That sounds great.
I hate it.
You go from 20 mile per hour winds down to 5 miles per hour, but
60 in wind, no thank you. Just yeah. At 60 though. I'm good with that.
Are you concerned at all about conditions this weekend? What are you gearing up for?
I mean, Memorial was pretty windy. I feel like I managed it pretty good. If you like wind, you can always use wind to your advantage as long as it's not like crazy wind that where it becomes like unfair. But you can always throw, like, overstable. Like I said, playing to the safe side, laying up putts. Like, you can actually use it to your advantage to have your competitors just mess up, and then you just stay steady, get a couple birdies, and then it seems like almost every time by the end of the round, you are coming out on top. So I kind of like the wind. It obviously, there is a little bit of, like, unfairness in it, but not, like, a ton, I feel like.
All right. So as we start to wrap up here, I got to ask something I didn't ask at all earlier this week. What was your biggest takeaway or memorable moment of the Memorials competition for you this weekend? Like, whether it was to you or with regards to your card mates or whatever, what do you feel like was your biggest takeaway from this last weekend?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't know. Well, I think for me, it was probably when Aaron took a 6 on hole 9. And for the first time in the tournament, I had the lead and I had control. Okay. I started off the day getting 2 strokes on him on hole 1. I got a birdie, he got a bogey. I was down 3, and then I was back down 1. Kind of kept within, like, 1 and 2 for the whole rest of the front 9. And then, I got 2 strokes on him on hole 7. He got one back on me. I tied up on hole 7, made a decent putt. And then he got one back on me in 8, but then I got 3 on him in the hole 9. Mm-hmm. At that time, like, I don't know what it is. But, like, I've always just enjoyed, like, being ahead. And that it kind of, like, it just, I mean, everyone wants to be ahead, but I feel like it, like, lights that fire. Like, there's blood in the water, and I know it's my chance to strike, basically. Like, it's finally here for me. And so when I gained the lead, I just tried to stay cool and call. What am I saying? Cool and
I don't
calm.
Know.
And you know, kind of give off that like vibe of like, hey, I got it. I want to keep it. And so I felt like I did a pretty good job of that. He ended up double bogeying hole 11 as well. And then I was able to get a birdie there to go up 5 with 7 to play. And at that point, I mean, it was a little bit of a weird position because like when you're up that much, you for sure just do not want to bogey. So I was playing a little bit safer. I laid up like 2 or 3 putts,
mm-hmm.
just to be safe and make sure. I don't even know what's happening right now. And just to be sure that I wasn't dropping strokes. That's the worst thing you can do is just give one away, especially if he gets birdies, he's getting 2 back. And like in the back of my mind, you know that Vista ends with 2 island holes, and that's you could lose 4 strokes like that quick.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen so fast at Vista. So to answer the question though, sorry for going in super detail, but like either that one when I went took the lead on hole 9 or when I made my putt on 16 after my caddy told me no.
Yeah.
And I drained the circle 2 putt. It was my longest. It was actually that was my longest putt of the tournament. So it felt good to make that one.
Wow.
And okay. And then obviously shanked it on 17, but Aaron Wynn will be on 18, put in bounds, got the win, and.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, what a pivotal moment. I feel like even from a viewing perspective and everyone else that was fully invested in it, 9 felt like that was the ultimate. I mean, and it still got close, and Aaron battled back super strong, you know, and ended up putting together, I think, 3 or 4 birdies in a row and made a charge and very much was in contention as you guys were coming down the stretch. But 9, that 3-stroke swing just really flipped everything on its head. And
I was gonna say, so I mean, obviously Aaron's had his putting struggles in the past, and that 6, you know, that triple bogey due to putting, I mean, in my mind there as well, I know his history with putting, and mm-hmm. it kind of like I know that he's nervous now, I guess. I know it's getting to him a little bit, and so that almost also gives me a little bit of an edge, a little bit of an advantage, just like for my mental game, knowing that, you know, maybe even, and this isn't like a diss on Aaron, it's just like from what we've seen already.
Mm-hmm.
His putt already looks 10 times better than it has last season. I mean, he made a lot of really, really good putts, and he made a lot of good circle 1 putts that he wouldn't make in the past. And so, I mean, I've said it, he'll get a win this year for sure.
Sure.
And it'll be scary once he wins. Same with AB, you know, you never know what's going to happen. They could just win 5 events this year. So, obviously one of the best throwers in the game, but I think I use that to my advantage a little bit.
Awesome. Well, I mean, we'd be silly not to ask, do either of your dinner mates there have anything they want to fill in or update us on from this weekend since they're in there?
Is there ever just a calm night at the Airbnb?
No.
Like, we're just going to hang out tonight and watch a rom-com.
I feel like usually they get mad at me for being weird, and then, like,
this is revenge.
I don't even know what just happened. Like, how do you come up with that idea? You bring an entire table to like a 2-foot door, set up a whole dinner. Isaac just pulled out a yogurt and then started eating it with like a spatula. And then I don't even know what just happened. So you guys see on the vlog. But it's so dumb.
All right. I mean, as long as you guys are,
that's why people like it though.
Enjoying yourselves.
Is there a pressure for the vlog to kind of always one up like what you've done in the past? Like, we got to come up with something new and original and goofy, and or is it more natural?
It used to be like Alden just catching stuff on camera, like just naturally, and I it's definitely transitioned like more skits and more planned out stuff. Like, I mean, that wasn't planned out. Like, I didn't even inform him I was going to be on Smashbox until like 10 minutes before. I was like, hey, I'm on Smashbox. Just be quiet. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, they were relatively quiet.
They were quiet. They were definitely quiet.
Yeah.
But it made me not quiet. But we have like just like really, it's more just like really stupid ideas, and then we're like, oh, let's film it. And so that's what happens. Or something happened, we didn't get it on film, and then we redo it.
All right. Well, always in the filmmaking business there. Gannon, before we let you go, anything you want to say to anyone out there, fans, supporters, potential clients or customers or whatever it might be? Anything you want to say to everyone, shout outs that you want to give?
I don't know. Shout out you, Terry, putting a lot of work for the coverage. I know it's a lot of work, so we appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, just all my sponsors, Discmania, Double G Jerky, Chump Chalk Bags, Titan Disc Golf, and Squatch Disc Golf Bags. Discmania and Squatch Bags, just keep looking out because there will be something coming soon for both of them. And I'm excited to work with them and have my really first product out with each of them.
Sweet. Well, it was awesome. It was a roller coaster this weekend. It was a lot of fun to watch. It's there was just so many different storylines, including Aaron coming out shooting so well, so consistent off the right out of the gate, and doing commentary and having that go very well for him and for the rest of the world, for my channel. Everybody really seemed to enjoy it. And then to have AB shoot that insane round, and then to have you ultimately have the battle with him as it all came down the stretch. And like, there's just so many people, the storyline of Paul Ulibarri, playing in front of the home state, but yet almost getting beat by his brother in Masters. Like, there was so many things going on just on the MPO side at this historic event. It's just an honor to be there to capture it and take it all in the way we did. And ultimately you defending your title.
And filling in with commentary on the final round.
And filling in with commentary, just all of it. Like, it makes for an exhausting, but yet such an insanely fulfilling weekend, on so many levels. So congratulations again to you, and thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Well, sounds good.
Have a good one.
Sounds good. Hopefully we'll see you on coverage this weekend. I'll be in the booth, and if there's anything you think I need to know while I'm commentating
Text
the
him.
Booth, shoot it my way.
All right, just don't give me crap if I take 30 seconds one time.
I won't if you take 30 seconds. If you take 38 or 42 or a minute nine, one time, then I might.
It depends. Depends on the situation.
If I take 30 seconds one time and somebody else does it, you got to give them crap too. That's the rule.
Okay, that's fair. But one time you're good.
You don't want to get on all the higher-ups' bad side, but you might have to.
one time... You're good if you take 30 seconds.
Okay.
Two times at 35 seconds, I'm gonna rag on you. That's my job.
It's all right, that's not you. Actually your job.
All right. Have a good night. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
See ya.
See you guys.
Goodbye.
I think he just came on the podcast simply to tell you not to rag on him. He suffered through our interview, and then at the very end, he's like, "Oh, hey, Terry. Don't rag on me."
I mean, he certainly has been in that conversation, which we're not going to rehash. But yeah, he's been there and he's aware of it and has certainly improved.
Oh yeah.
Could still put a clock on him sometimes. I know. But he has improved significantly.
I'm not unique in this scenario where I do have leeway for 30 seconds in certain situations. A wide open putt or approach is not that situation.
Yeah, or exclusively waiting for wind, which I feel like is sometimes makes it even more painful and feels more disrespectful to the players. It's one thing, I think, if you're caught up in your mind and your emotions. It's another thing if you're literally just waiting for the wind.
Sure.
Because everyone's thinking, well, that's definitely not fair. Like, what are you doing? So,
then they should call
them. Everything's going to be good. Everybody's going to be 30 seconds or less this weekend.
Okay.
Let's hope. At least if they're on coverage. All right.
We are going to give something away.
Yeah, we are.
To one of our Patreon supporters. If you would like to be an eligible recipient of one of our prizes on the podcast here, you can go to patreon.com/smashboxtv for literally as little as $1 a month. You can be eligible for this giveaway. Terry and I have a little meeting tonight. We're going to talk about making sure we get our Patreon discs out.
Soon.
So at the $3 level, you become eligible for those Patreon discs. But then there's the $2 level where you get your name on the broadcast. And there's the $5 level where we kiss you.
And
it's awkward.
Johnny does. I mean, I watch.
That's even more weird. I mean, but hey, whatever you're into. Actually, you get a studio mini at the $5 level right here behind Terry to the right.
So you're always watching our backs.
So you're always watching our backs. Make sure checking up on us. Anyway, patreon.com/smashboxtv. Tonight, we have 132 people eligible for our giveaway, Terry.
I like it.
I'm glad you do.
We've got some good giveaway stuff.
We do. We're going to do two giveaways tonight.
Yes, because last weekend I was on the road, so we probably didn't do a giveaway.
So I didn't do a giveaway.
All right.
Yeah, well, we didn't even do an after show last week. It was just a single show.
I was tired.
All right, Terry, 132 people eligible. It's your, what, your 19th memorial?
Yep, 19th memorial, but it's the second Gannon Burr win. Okay. So how about you pull the second number?
Our second number. Our first number, it's sorted by first name. Super original tonight.
Yeah, wow.
First number is 13, lucky number.
Yes, it is.
And our second number is going to be higher than that, is my guess. It is 87. 87. I'm going to scroll down to 87, and that person is Mokar. Congratulations, Mokar. Mo-car.
I like it.
Mokar.
Thank you.
All right, Mokar, you are a $3 supporter, so... Obviously, we're going to send you this disc, but we'll also work on, as soon as Terry and I finalize the details for our Patreon supporter, for our Patreon discs, we're going to send that out, and you will receive one of those as well. But
heck yeah.
Tonight, Mokar, you are our weekly winner. Terry,
I feel like that's the first time. I don't recognize that name, and you've been a supporter for a while, so thank you.
Yeah, so I'm glad you won tonight. Terry?
We're all winners.
Let's go to the second drawing. What number? The next one? Do you want to do two more again? What do you want?
I'd say the very next number we pull.
The very next number we pull is going to be 126.
Oh, this is somebody that starts with a W. It's going to be a William.
Oh, let's see. It is wrong. You would have never guessed this. It starts with a U. Ulysses. Ulysses Muniz. Congratulations, Ulysses. That's a name I don't know if we've pulled.
Either.
So
I don't believe we have.
Awesome. I'm very happy about that.
Two new winners
tonight. Congratulations, Ulysses. Although his email does have the words Cowboys fan in it, send him the Packer disc.
Yeah.
No, anyway.
I've got a Bart Starr 1967.
Congratulations, Ulysses. Thank you for being a supporter at the $2 level.
It's
much appreciated.
We appreciate it.
Will get those discs out as soon as Terry is humanly possible. I don't know if it's going to be this week because
it's
going to
be tomorrow. Yeah, if it's not tomorrow, it's going to be early 5 days from now.
Okay,
it's gonna
that's understandable.
Time to get all caught up. I leave for Bend tomorrow, and so I'll be out and about. Wow. It's been a night. It's been some. I've got to go repack. I think I got laundry to do and then repack. And the next thing you know, I'm back on the road.
On the road again. I was going to ask what you were doing this weekend because I literally didn't know. I didn't know you were doing.
Yeah, I'm in the booth. Just,
I couldn't think of who else
was doing it.
This is a
side note that's relevant but not for most of you, but I'll just throw it out there because I happen to see it. Daylight savings this weekend, which doesn't really help me. I know our broadcast. I have to be, I think, in the broadcast chair around 6 or 6:15 each morning, and then on Sunday it pushes for me back to 7 a.m., but we lose an hour, so effectively is like 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this weekend, I believe, is daylight savings gets adjusted Saturday night.
There is a cut, right?
I don't know about that. But
I know, but God, I hope. Mo, 4 rounds, there needs to be a cut. You know this.
Let's hope so.
Eric Sterner asks, did I miss the after show? Not really. Well, kind of, but not. If you were listening to the Gannon Burr interview, that was our after show this week. Gannon took a little, you know, we moved your podcast up to 8 to accommodate more guests, then Gannon pushes us back. But no, we ended up having Gannon for our after show guest tonight. So.
Yeah, so that was the major focus, which we just wrapped up. So if you want to rewind a little bit, it'll all be out there. Another little tiny quick housekeeping note is that the... FPO footage is going to continue to roll out from the memorial. A lot of people had asked about it. It was great. Big shout out to Jennifer Allen. She and Katarina Stalson-Bjorkis did rounds 1 and 2 commentary so graciously. Thank you to them. And then Jen is lining up to get rounds 3 and 4 commentary knocked out. And all 4 rounds have been edited. All 4 rounds are available for her commentary. She's already done the first 2. So the plan is to continue to roll out, you know, round 1 released today. Round 2 is going to release tomorrow. I've got it all loaded up. And then rounds 3 and 4 the 2 subsequent days after that. So the point is FPO memorial coverage is all coming out. At some point, I'll get to the MP40 coverage. And then at some point, maybe we'll see finally.
You in 2025.
No. I'll get that out sooner. But finally, at some point, maybe I'll go back and get the chase card coverage from round two. We'll release it. A few people have asked for it. Yeah. Anyway, it's all in the works. We still have Maricopa to release, and I still have Chiang Mai to release. So I got a lot of stuff coming on the channel.
That's great. And more people will see it now.
Now they will. Thank you. All right, let's call it. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you to all of our supporters. Thank you to both, obviously, this channel, as well as my channel, which we talked about. We're just keep making videos.
They call you Mr. 100,000, is what I heard.
No, I don't think they do, but
that's the bonus know. YouTube sends you, right?
Ah, no.
Oh.
No. This has been Smashbox TV's podcast, 496's after show. Big shout out and big thanks seriously to Gannon Burr. We know he's also a busy traveling man, a successful one. But thank you to Gannon for joining us and headlining our after show. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. We'll see you this weekend for the Waco Annual Charity Open live on the Disc Golf Network and the Disc Golf Pro Tour. We'll see you then. And until then, step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.